The words of God given to us today is from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 43. It's found in page 136 of the New Testament. The words of God given to us today is from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 43. I will read the words of God. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Amen. There is a saying in Korean called 자수성가. It is used to describe a situation where a person who has no inherited wealth builds a household and accumulates wealth through his or her own efforts. However, strictly speaking, there is no such thing as 자수성가. Among all the living beings on this earth, humans have the longest period during which parents must take absolute care of their children. Generally, four-legged animals start walking on the day they're born. However, it takes an average of 1 year for humans to walk on their own 2 feet. It takes at least a few years until they can find and put on clothes by themselves. And it takes a minimum of 10 years for them to learn to do things on their own. And it doesn't end there. In modern society, it takes at least 20 years to become financially independent. However, that doesn't mean that parents' help is no longer needed after that. That's why there's even a saying that parents have to provide lifelong after service for their children. The same applies to one's finances. The wealth one achieves is never achieved alone. It was made possible with someone's help. Not only that, but academic diplomas and achievements are possible because of someone's help. We are able to live as a member of our society because in various big and small matters, knowingly or unknowingly, we receive help from others. This is particularly true in spiritual aspect. No one among us thought of eternal life and Jesus Christ being the only Savior on his or her own. Those who grew up in Christian households naturally came to think about eternal life and Savior through their parents and family. And as for those who came to have faith at a point in one's life, one may have thought that one could live a good life based on one's strength alone, but in reality one couldn't. And after experiencing various types of disappointments and despair, or after feeling that there is something in this world that cannot be explained by human reasoning alone, and because of these events, we have been called by God in His time and in His way at different times. And so, through His Word and also through experiences or our circumstances, we come to know that we are sinners and open our eyes to eternal life. Looking back on life from this standpoint, there is nothing that is not God's guidance and grace. Therefore, we come to realize the fact that in life and faith there is no 자수성가, self-made, but only 신수성가, God-made. In other words, it is God's hand that establishes. There is a fairy tale called The Dwarf Who Loves Snow White. in the early 2000s. It was also adapted into a play and was performed for about 10 years. The plot goes like this. The story begins when Snow White arrives at a house of the Seven Dwarfs in the forest due to her stepmother's jealousy. The Seven Dwarfs are rejected by others because they look different. And they gather together and live in a gold mine in a field full of baby breath flowers. One day, when they return home from work, they found the house tidy and someone was working inside. The dwarfs were surprised at seeing Snow White, but after hearing Snow White's unfortunate circumstances, they decide to live together. The dwarfs introduce themselves in order, starting from the eldest. However, the youngest one was very shy, and he hid himself. Another dwarf stepped up to introduce the youngest one, whose name was Pandar, and who couldn't speak. The Pandar approached Snow White and gave her a bunch of baby breath flowers that he had picked during the day. However, the princess didn't know the name of the flowers, and Pandar tried to express something with his eyes and his gestures, but the princess couldn't understand what he was trying to say, so instead she thanked him and kissed his cheek. Even when everyone was asleep, Panda couldn't sleep. He wanted to say, "Princess, you're more beautiful than the baby breath," but he kept it in his heart. One day, Snow White's stepmother, whose name is Yabichisa Chanak Pigab Akdok Agnar, came and threw Snow White into the lake. Snow White, who didn't know how to swim, struggled and was losing consciousness when she felt someone grabbing her arm. When she woke up later, she saw Panda crying, guarding her. As a result, Panda caught a very severe cold. But Snow White thanked him and kissed his cheek, took care of him. Panda was filled with happiness. The wicked stepmother realized through the truth-telling mirror that Snow White was still alive, so she came back to the forest and gave her a poisoned rose. When Snow White was pricked by the thorn of the rose, she fell down and couldn't wake up. While the dwarfs were in despair, not knowing what to do, the leader dwarf mentioned that there was an antidote called Tears of the Rose Fairy, but it was really difficult to get. The Rose Fairy lived in the cave of eternal snow, across high mountains and deep rivers, and beyond a thorny vine forest infested with monsters. Upon hearing that, Panda immediately rushed out. 1 month later, Panda appeared with the jar containing the Tears of the Rose Fairy, his body covered in injuries. He collapsed after that. Panda woke up with a third kiss from the Snow White. Panda was just happy that Snow White was taking care of him. He wanted to say, "I think I like you, princess," but it was a pity that he couldn't speak. One day, the wicked stepmother, Yabichisa Chanak Pigab Akdok Angnar, appeared with a poisoned apple. Snow White, who ate the poisoned apple, fell unconscious again. The apple contained a magic spell that could only be broken if a prince from a neighboring kingdom kissed her. The dwarfs wanted to save Snow White, but they were too afraid of people and couldn't dare do it. That's when Panda stood up. The other dwarfs tried to stop him, but Panda pushed them aside and ran out. Panda wanted to show a dance to Snow White when she woke up. It was a dance with a long title, "To the One Who Crossed the Windy Hill and the Lake of Flower Fields to Come Here, I Sincerely Love You." As Pandai passed through the kingdom where Snow White used to live, he was shocked by the people he encountered. They were busy, but they had no expressions. There was no laughter even among children. Most of their conversations were filled with dissatisfaction and resentment towards the king and the queen. Of course, no one was interested or paid any attention to Panda's dance. And some people even tried to capture him to make money off of him. Finally, Panda arrived in the kingdom where the prince lived. And it was different there. The people warmly welcomed Panda and even offered to give him bread and milk. Panda expressed his purpose for coming there through his dance, but people only thought the dance was really beautiful without really understanding the meaning of the dance. One dwarf researcher mentioned that it was a dance performed when it was time to get married. Many years had passed, but people still didn't understand Panda's dance. Panda was extremely tired and exhausted, but he kept dancing, fearing that someone who knew the meaning of his dance might just pass by when he rested. So he continued to dance. The days that he skipped eating bread and milk increased. Panda was frustrated himself, who could not speak, when he only needed to say, "I'm looking for the prince." Then one early morning, a young man asked to see the dance, and he said, "I'm the prince you're looking for." Panda explained everything to the prince on their way to the baby breath field. The prince said to Panda, "The princess must be very precious to you," but Panda could not say or gesture anything. Many years had passed, and the princess remained the same. Finally, when the prince kissed the princess, she opened her eyes. The dwarfs told princess about everything that had happened and that Panda had brought the prince. The princess kissed the panda's forehead for the fourth time. Panda was about to dance the dance he wanted to show her when he heard the prince's voice saying, "Will you marry me?" Snow White nodded her head. Everyone cheered. But then Panda couldn't hear anything in his ears. The leader dwarf asked Panda to dance to celebrate the marriage of the prince and the princess. Although Panda didn't want to, he danced because everyone wanted him to. He danced while he was crying, but he claimed that he was crying out of joy. Sometime later, news of the wedding between the prince and princess and the punishment of the evil queen reached the dwarfs. They were invited to the wedding, but due to their fear of people, they couldn't go. Instead, they wanted to send Panda as their representative, but Panda was getting ill and he couldn't go. One day, Panda asked the dwarf who had been taking care of him to bury him in the baby breath field where the princess had been. He asked, "Then did you love the princess?" asked the dwarf. "Yes," Panda said. "Please tell the princess that I just went on a distant journey." And so Panda left this world. Jesus, who came to this land to give us eternal life, who had died from sin and guilt and to make us the people of God's kingdom, is now facing the pinnacle of his ministry, the crucifixion. Jesus had the Last Supper, which was also the first communion with his disciples on this earth. And the text testifies as to what he did next. This is from verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. The text states that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives as usual. This means that Jesus went to Mount of Olives not just once, but multiple times. The Gospel of Luke provides several scenes of Jesus praying that the other Gospels don't mention. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he received baptism in the Jordan River. And at that moment, the heavens opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of dove, and a voice said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now this event happened after Jesus was in prayer. Jesus also went to the mountains to pray all night before choosing his 12 disciples. Furthermore, Jesus had conversations with Moses and Elijah on a mountain about his upcoming departure, the crucifixion. His appearance changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Now that event happened when Jesus was in prayer. Jesus also taught his disciples how to pray when they requested it. That teaching is known as the Lord's Prayer. This also happened when Jesus had finished praying at a place at the request of his disciples. When we face challenges that seem enormous or difficult to handle, or when we face situations that we can't resolve on our own, or a problem that we feel insufficient to handle on our own, we often pray fervently. Common prayer phrases that emerge at such times when we're praying is, "God, just this once," or "God, only once," or "God, just this one situation." However, these prayers are not limited to this once or just once, but are repeated whenever similar situations arise. The maturity of prayer and faith lies not in this once or just once, but in as usual. It is said that the place Jesus went according to his usual habit after the Last Supper is the Mount of Olives. The name was given because there were a lot of olive trees there. Even now, there are many olive trees at that place. And some trees are said to be from the time of Jesus. However, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Mount of Olives is referred to by a different name. This is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Matthew records that the place where Jesus gave his desperate prayer is Gethsemane and not Mount of Olives. While the Mount of Olives is a name that refers to a general area, Gethsemane is a name for a more specific area. If someone were to ask me, "Where is 100th Anniversary Memorial Church to serve?" I would answer, "Our church is in Hapjeongdong, Mapugu." Or I might say, "We're near the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery in Hapjeongdong, Mapugu." If Hapjeongdong is equivalent to the Mount of Olives, then Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery can be thought of as being similar to Gethsemane. Now, Matthew specifically identifies the place where Jesus prayed before his crucifixion as Gethsemane because of the significance of that name. Gethsemane means olive press. The people living in that area at that time used to place olive presses in caves and produce olive oil. Thus, the place came to be called Gethsemane. To extract oil from the olives, the fruit had to be completely crushed. Matthew emphasized that Jesus prayed in such a way, tearing himself apart in order to save all of humanity eternally. Up to the time, the disciples did not understand the meaning of Jesus' words, although Jesus repeatedly told them that he would suffer at the hands of the high priest, elders, and Pharisees and be crucified. The disciples were clueless. They were only interested in securing good position for themselves when Jesus became king at Jerusalem. For the disciples, Jesus' words about his death and resurrection were merely stories from another world. Jesus went to Gethsemane as usual to pray. Therefore, the disciples would have thought that it was just another day, no different from others. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus specifically asked Peter, James, and John, who all accompanied him, to stay awake and pray with him, saying, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." However, the disciples paid no attention and simply fell into a deep sleep. After Jesus ascended and more than 30 years had passed, when Matthew recorded the account of Jesus, he mentioned that Jesus not only prayed in Gethsemane, but also he experienced intense anguish there, to the point of his heart being torn apart and his body sweating drops of blood. So Jesus, who had already torn his heart in Gethsemane, was able to go to the cross where his body was actually torn. But the disciples, he refused to have their hearts torn, ended up fleeing. The Gospel of Mark also identifies the place where Jesus went to pray as Gethsemane. Mark was a disciple who regarded Peter as a father figure. He would have heard Peter's account of Jesus while he took care of Peter in prison in Rome. Mark likely used the term Gethsemane because Peter had told him so. And if Peter had referred to Gethsemane in his story, the reference would have been made as a repentance for not fully understanding the Lord's intentions at that time. Peter may not have understood at the time, but after tearing his heart apart in deep anguish, just as Jesus had foretold, he too could endure being imprisoned in Rome and even being crucified upside down. Although it is not recorded in the Bible, the other disciples would have also experienced a tearing of their hearts. In the Gospel of John, which was the latest of the four Gospels to be written, the content of today's passage is recorded from a different perspective than the Synoptic Gospels. This is from John 18:1. After Jesus had said this prayer, he left with disciples and went across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. John testifies that Jesus went to the garden with his disciples. The garden mentioned here is the Gethsemane Garden in the Mount of Olives. The early Christians, when hearing garden, would automatically associate it with the Gethsemane Garden in the Mount of Olives, so there was no need to specify the name explicitly. However, John specifies that the garden is across the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley is mentioned 10 times in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament it is only mentioned once, in John chapter 18, verse 1. The Apostle John was closer to Jesus than any other disciples throughout Jesus' earthly ministry. And when Jesus prayed before his crucifixion, John naturally was close to him, along with Peter and James. Therefore, John was well aware that the place where Jesus last prayed was the Gethsemane Garden on the Mount of Olives. Nonetheless, John records it as across the Kidron Valley, a name not found in any other New Testament writings. This suggests that through this record, God has a specific message that he wants us to understand. The Kidron Valley is located between the eastern wall of Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, connecting southward with the Hinnom Valley. In our language, the term river and stream are often used to differentiate a body of water based on the size and the amount of the water. However, in the Bible, the term river and stream are not determined by size or the amount of water. Instead, if there is water source and water flows throughout the year, it is called the river. If there is no water source and water only flows during the rainy season but dries up during the dry season, it is called a stream. The Kidron Valley was also kind of wadi that only flowed during the heavy rainfall. So during the dry season, the stream bed of Kidron Valley was used as a pathway. Therefore, in the Bible, it is recorded as the Kidron Valley, but the more common term was the Kidron Valley. This place is situated about 60 to 120 meters below the surrounding plain. It has long been used as a burial ground. The tomb of Absalom, who rebelled to take over King David's throne, is located here, and it still exists to this day. This Kidron Valley has been used as a burial ground for some kings and the common people. Furthermore, some kings of Judah burned idols and discarded them there. In Ezekiel chapter 37, there is a vision where the valley is filled with dry bones that come to life. And the Israelites believed that this valley is the Kidron Valley. There are hardly any other valleys or tombs that are filled with dry bones like the Kidron Valley. The meaning of Kidron is darkness or obscurity. In other words, the place was literally the valley of death and tombs, the valley of darkness and punishment. When we consider all of this, we can understand why John records Jesus crossing the Kidron Valley instead of mentioning the Mount of Olives or Gethsemane when describing Jesus' final prayer. Jesus' purpose in going to pray was to go beyond our death and to dispel our eternal darkness. We, as human beings, do not have the ability to transform this valley of death into a dwelling place of life. Only Jesus Christ can cross the valley of death, tearing his own body apart in death, and give us the oil of eternal life. That's why Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley and prayed in the Gethsemane Garden. The story of the dwarf who loves Snow White I mentioned at the beginning continues as follows. Sometime after the princess got married to the prince, she came to the misty forest. She wanted to see Pandar and his dance, but she only heard that he had gone far away. So instead, she went to the baby breath field that she loved. It seemed to her that the flowers were trying to say something to her. The princess fell asleep in the field and danced warmly with someone in her dream. After waking up, she couldn't remember what this warmth that she had felt in her dream was. After that, the princess visited the misty forest several times, but she could not meet Pandey. One day, after many years had passed, the princess cleaned the room in the palace that had not been used. There she found a dusty and foggy mirror. As she cleaned the mirror, she noticed the words written on it. I am a mirror that speaks only the truth. Ask me anything you want to know. The princess asked, Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one of all in the world? The mirror answered, The fairest one in the world is the princess, the third daughter of the queen. Snow White was no longer the young princess of the past. She had become a middle-aged queen who bore and raised five children. The mirror showed the image of her sleeping third daughter. The princess asked again, Mirror, mirror on the wall, who loves me the most in this world? The mirror replied, The one who loves you the most in this world is the prince of the neighboring kingdom, who is the current king. The princess was delighted to hear that her husband still loved her. Satisfied with the mirror's answer, she turned to leave the room. But then the voice of the mirror continued. However, the one who loved the queen the most, the princess turned her head. In the baby breath field of the misty forest, it was a fading memory for the princess now, where he sleeps, the dwarf called Pandai. Inside the mirror, the baby breath field, which the princess loved, was vividly displayed. There, Pandai danced shyly. The mirror spoke again. Princess Snow White, who came passing through the hills of the wind, crossing the lake of wildflowers in this misty forest, I truly love you. The princess finally remembered. She remembered what it was that made her feel warm when she danced in the baby breath field. She realized that the small and beautiful gestures that Panda expressed were expressions of love towards her. The story of Panda is none other than the story of Jesus. When we stand before the mirror of truth and ask, Mirror, mirror on the wall, who loves me the most in this world? The mirror will answer, The one who loves you the most in this world is your current spouse, so-and-so, your parents, and your children, so-and-so. Or it may say, The one who loves you the most is the person you are currently in a relationship with. And as we turn around with joy, the mirror will speak from behind us. However, the one who loved you the most, who tore his heart apart in prayer for you, crossing the valley of death and darkness to give you eternal life, even allowing his own body to be torn on the cross, it is Jesus Christ who loves you. Do you ever feel like someone is holding on to you in every moment of your life? When you're in a tunnel blocked from all sides and surrounded by darkness, not knowing which way to go? Do you ever feel like someone is holding your hand and guiding you? In times of tears in the valley of sorrow, when tears don't seem to dry, no matter how much you shed them and you feel too weak to walk any longer, do you ever feel like someone is carrying you? That someone is Jesus Christ, who tore his own body apart in prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross for you. Do you believe that you can live a meaningful and righteous life without Jesus Christ? Do you have the ability to overcome despair and hopelessness in life? Furthermore, can you take responsibility for what comes after death without Jesus Christ? If not, then you need to receive Jesus Christ, who crossed the spiritual Kidron Valley for us, as the Lord of your life, and walk with him. Let us not forget that only those who accept that Jesus' Gethsemane prayer was for their sake can make his resurrection also for themselves and become conquerors with the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, sometimes we may think that our current faith is the result of our own zeal and sincerity. However, through today's message, we are reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ crossed the Kidron Valley and went through a process similar to squeezing oil at the Garden of Gethsemane in order to resolve our problem of death. Thank you for reminding us of this. We're also grateful that we were not alone in our lives. Sometimes you were there silently by our side, and at other times you comforted us with warm words or through our circumstances. You held our hands and guided us when we didn't know where to go, and you carried us when we were crushed by despair and circumstances. We thank you for that. As we reflect on our lives, we realize that there is no other path but to purposely focus on God and his word when we stand before him, who is like the mirror of truth. Without doing so, our faith cannot grow and mature, and our inner selves will not become strong. Help us not to forget this, and keep us from straying away from seeking God and his word as our purpose. As we plant our lives in God's word, may the truth and fruits of life shine brightly in our lives, even in his valleys of death. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.